District 32, Business Radio. Insights and inspiration. District 32, by today's business leaders.
Hello, this is Alan Cox for District 32 Business Radio. Today I'm here with Paul Manning from Paul Manning. Hi, Paul, how are you?
Great, thanks, Alan. Thanks for having me here.
So, Paul, what's one of the best things that's happened to you in the last few months, business-wise?
Well, I just love helping business owners to get a little bit more profit in their business and maybe help them grow and scale. And so the best thing is just to see those results come through for with the people I'm working with. That's what turns me on. Good feeling to get it done, and obviously everybody's happy. It's a win-win for both sides.
Good. Excellent. So what do you want to talk about today? What tips have you got for us?
The thing I want to talk about is the fact that there's really only three areas that every business, doesn't matter what shape or size it is, makes or loses money. And so money is made or lost in what you might call three big pipelines. It's the margins we get out of the products that we sell, whether it's goods or services. It's the way we promote our business, and it's the people in our business. And the intersection of those three sort of pipelines gives us what we might call the ideal business. So if you were to draw it out and you have that intersection of the three circles, in the center there is the ideal business. And where these circles overlap, if you think about the margins that you're making in your business, there's no point selling more of what you're making if you're not making any money at it. So fixing the margins and making sure that you're maximizing or optimizing the money that you make out of everything that you do or sell allows us then to promote more and get an ideal income from that. Equally, if you're stressed and got no time in your business and really need some extra help in the business, probably need to look at the people in your business and give you some more freedom by getting the right people and help around you. Once you've got the margins worked out and the people worked out, then you can scale up and advertise and do some more promoting of the business, get your ideal leads in and convert them into sales, and that gives you the scale in your business. So those three areas, income, freedom, and scale, are what we focus on. Those are the questions we ask our clients around where their issues are in the business. So if you find yourself needing more work, you don't have enough work on, then that would be an area of the promote area of the business that we need to look at. If you find yourself saying, I just need more time, or I need more help, or I'm just so stressed, that would be because you probably need to fix some areas in the people pipe of your business. And if you just say, I'm really flat out and working hard, but I just can't seem to make any money, there's no money in the bank, that probably is because the margins need some attention.
So how do you go about helping people get more income?
Well, if they're talking about more income, that's the sort of more money question. And there's, again, three, if you like, projects around that margins pipeline. We look at what their prices are, obviously. Maybe they're reactive. They put their price up when their clients do. And if their clients are dropping their prices, they think they have to drop their prices as well. The other side of margins, of course, is not just the money you make when you sell the good, but what's the difference between what you're selling it for and what the costs are. So potentially there's some work to do around what your costs are. And if we can tune those costs a little bit, then that will give you a bigger margin in between.
And you help businesses tune those costs.
Exactly, yep. So we'd look at what those costs are and work out where to make some changes potentially to improve that. Some of that might be around the sorts of clients they have. Sometimes, you know, businesses, I'm sure, relate to the fact that sometimes the small pester type client is actually the one that takes up all their time and really doesn't give them enough money.
The 80-20 one.
Yeah, one of those. 80-20 yeah, rule. So, working out who your ideal client is and you know, potentially making some bold decisions to sort of drop the ones that are eating up all your time and giving you less money for it and finding the ones that pay you on time, don't question your price, say great things about you to their friends and refer more business like them back to your business. Yeah. And the other one is cash flow. Obviously, if your cash flow is a bit up and down and not reliable, you know, there's work to do around that as well.
That's one of the big bugbears of any business. And I know when I was working with my own business with staff, the cash flow was up and down. It's like a roller coaster. Yeah.
And that can be crippling. It can really affect businesses, can affect your planning and so on. So it's certainly an area of focus.
That actually makes planning very difficult.
It does.
Can do if you haven't got it right.
So do you have any tips for people on actually managing their cash flow?
Yes. So I'm talking about the three projects around that pipeline of margins that we're talking about. And there's actually lots of different strategies around those within those three projects. So cash flow is one of those areas, and you know we can certainly tackle, depending on every individual business is a little bit different and what the reasons for some of that cash flow swing, but we can certainly tackle that.
Yeah. You ask the hard questions, I suppose.
that's what we have to do sometimes, is ask the hard questions and dig a little bit deeper. You know, there may be good reasons, maybe bad reasons why cash flow is an issue. Yeah.
Well, I think most businesses find it difficult, especially if they're one person operations. They find it difficult to get outside the business to get that overview. So to have someone to help you to dig down and ask the hard questions and sort of make sure you get answers is important.
Yes, and small businesses wear many different hats. You know, so the same guy might be trying to promote his business and trying to manage his clients and trying to, look after his customers. He is the team, as it were. So you're wearing many different hats. You are the team. You're even torn between your customers and looking after the business itself. You know, the business is paying you a living too. So that can be hard, for sure.
What about you mentioned freedom mm-hmm. as the second one. What do you mean by that?
Everybody's idea of freedom is a little bit different, but you know, if you're working 80-hour weeks, so you probably want some time off, and freedom might be finding, you know, a couple of hours just to be able to have a nice conversation or an evening out with your partner, you know. But everybody has a different view of that. It might be Wednesdays off for golf. I don't know, but you know, it's possible that you.
So it's a bit of me time.
It's a bit of me time. It's time that recharge, and that's important, especially. Especially if you are a one-man band, you know, that you can't be all things to all people and still keep the show on the road. You have to be a bit careful of that. Burnout can be an issue.
Well, I've actually suffered burnout,
yeah.
And it's really difficult to recover from.
It can take a long time and put you back a long way.
It can. So the freedom part of it is very important. What about scale then?
So scale is another subjective sort of measure. You know, some people might want an office in every state and others might be happy with just looking after Perth. You know, it doesn't mean that you're trying to conquer the world necessarily, but it does mean that you're getting what's meaningful to you and having the ability for you to, you know, to delegate some of that work, perhaps to offload certain tasks that aren't, really your best use of your time. So if you've got some scale, if you're working towards optimizing that, your business can go forward. If you're spending all your day doing things that really aren't paying you what your genius is, then you need to offload some of those and work on the things that are your genius and delegate some of the things that aren't.
it's the passion, yep. What you like doing.
Yep.
Yeah, small businesses do find it very hard to actually nail down the goals of scale, because if you say you want to make 50 widgets a month, but you're a one-man band, you know, you want to boost that to 100, yeah. Do you need to employ more people, or because your costs go up with that? So do you really want to do that? Is that something you look at with people?
Yeah, people confuse or use interchangeably the two words growth and scale. There's some great things out there, some lovely videos, and I'm sure Simon Bowen won't mind me mentioning his name, but if you look up Simon Bowen, he has a great video for the difference between growth and scale. And the key difference is that growth is a sort of a linear curve. If you want to double the number of widgets you're making to 100, you probably have to double the amount of time you're spending doing it, or put two people on to do it instead of one. And it's a kind of linear return. And at some point you run out of resources, whether it's time, money, or otherwise. So growth being a straight line linear scale is not as efficient, obviously, and not as rewarding in business terms as an exponential curve. So when you start to put less resources in for a greater return, the curve turns up much faster. And that's really the difference between growth and scale. So if you're accelerating the return for the same resources, either spend or spent on what you're using to produce the output, that's the difference between growth and scale. So those efficiencies, that underlying optimization, you want to call it, of getting things right to be able to accelerate the curve, that's a key thing to work on.
Comes down to one word, doesn't it? Efficiency.
Yeah, actually, we talk about three words within that. So okay. you want to optimize things, you perhaps want to automate some things, and you want to simplify it, particularly if you've got a big team. You want simple instructions and not too many business rules around what to do to get stuff done. So if you can think about simplify, automate, and optimize, those are the things that make a difference to accelerating that curve, to turn it into a linear, at least an exponential curve rather than a linear curve.
Interesting. So what other tips have you got? I notice you've got a couple of models. You've got that genius model. Yes. What's the other one that you've got there?
So the other model is something we call the fear of burnout. So we're talking about business owners burning out. And this FOBO model is that business owners can get torn between three areas of looking after their people, the team, looking after the customer, and looking after the business, making sure the business is running well. So, you know, we'd actually go through the process of asking the business owner, where do you spend most of your time, or what's the biggest concern you've got? Is it around the team? Is it around the customers? Or is it around making more money from your business? And then we dig through some of those areas, which one's the most challenging, and actually ask them, so why is that the case? Why is that actually the most challenging one? What do you think the reason is? And then potentially, what's it costing you in time, if that's the case? And equally, what's it costing you financially? And digging down like that, we can probably get to the next question, which was, what's the impact of improving it? So now you're starting to work out what the value is of having that thing fixed. And then you can ask the question, well, what would that allow you to do that you can't do right now? And if they can ask all those sorts of, or answer all of those sorts of questions, we then can show them that there's probably a better model, right? So if they're torn and if they're needing to fix it, and there's a big impact to fixing it, and a big reward for getting it right, potentially there's an alternative. Can I show you the alternative?
So once again, you're really helping the business dig down to the nitty-gritty to get to the course, or the source, of the problem, so that you can then come up with a plan with them to fix it.
That's it. And you touched on that before, you know. Lots of business owners are so busy in their business that they never get a chance to take that sort of helicopter view and sit back and think what the bigger picture is. They're so busy solving the day-to-day problems that they end up not really fixing the source. They're fixing the symptoms, the things that show up as issues, but they're not finding the cure for why these things are showing up. And, you know, that's the optimize and the automate and the simplify. If you can find the cure, then you're starting to turn that curve into a more exponential curve, and getting some scale into your business and getting some scale into the results of those improvements as well.
I was in a what I would call a state of confusion for 10 years, because I was focusing on, we needed to generate cash. So I was focusing on a part of the business that's been my business for 40 years. And I realized after speaking with a friend of mine who's also, she's a business coach. And I was in the middle of explaining it to her, and I said to her, I realized that I have been in transition, which is the confusion part, not wanting to end something before I started something else. So what I had to do was make that decision to end, stop doing something, so that I could start doing something else more efficiently.
Yeah, the stop, start, and continue is an important conversation. You know, what should I stop? What can I eliminate? What things are taking up a lot of time and potentially not giving me the reward for that time? What can I start doing with that time, if you like? What can I replace? You know, what activities are going to be better, more productive, or better value for my time working in my genius? And what are the things that I can continue? What's going well? What's good? How can I improve that? If I've got 80% of things that are working well, then change those, but fix the 20 that's not. You know, so that's really what we do, is talk to business owners, ask some of the hard questions, ask some questions they probably haven't spent a lot of time thinking about. They're busy treating the symptoms, and we dig down and try and give them a bit of a cure. So,
dig down to get to the source of
that's
the problem.
It, that's it.
Thank you, Paul. If people want to get in touch with you, they can contact you on paul@paul-manning.com.au. The website is paulmanning.com.au. And Paul's phone number is 0424-568-874. Paul, that's been terrific. There's some really good tips in there. But our time's up, unfortunately. So hopefully we can chat again.
Yes, love to.
Sometime.
Thank you.
This is Alan Cox. I've been with Paul Manning chatting about income, freedom and scale. Thanks, Paul, and we'll see you again soon.
Great. Thanks for having me, Alan.
You've been listening to District 32 Business Experts that educate and inspire. District 32 Business Radio Business Experts, 20 past the hour, every hour, Monday to Friday, on District 32, the power of connection.